This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake.
On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the Young Bucks re-signing with ROH, their thoughts on ROH Final Battle, and a quick preview of New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 11 show coming up on January 4th. So, Jake, this past weekend we saw Ring of Honor's biggest event of the year, their kind of final event of the year. It's called Final Battle because it's the last battle of some sort. Just to open up our show today, what'd you think of Final Battle?
Well, I kind of went into last weekend thinking, well, there's two wrestling pay-per-views. I want to catch them both. And I ended up making time to catch both. And at the end of the weekend, I was like, I think I might have liked Final Battle even more than TLC. And I liked TLC. And so I was impressed by the overall quality of the show. Every show has its ups and downs, and the Final Battle was no different. But I think the main event really stood out. The Bucks and the Briscoes had a really good match. Cody and Jay Lethal had a great match. I think Silas and Liger had a lot of fun. I enjoyed that match a lot. So all over the card, there wasn't a lot not to like. I mean, there was some stuff that felt kind of underwhelming. I think, the six-man championship the concept of it just never really took off for me. And Dalton Castle defeating Colt Cabana was kind of a letdown because I was hoping to see Colt pick up a win on the back of his heel turn and continue that feud longer than it looks like they want to. But overall, I mean, there wasn't a match that I just that wasn't just a lot of fun to watch. So I recommend people going out of their way to watch the replay or however you go about watching ROH pay-per-view. It's a good one to catch.
Yeah, it's definitely worth grabbing the VOD of it, which I believe is up now on Ring of Honor's website. It was a good show. I'm with you. I thought Colin O'Reilly had a good match. I thought the Bucks, who we'll talk about a little, who this show is kind of about in a way, and the Briscoes had a good match. The TV title was fun. Not the way I would introduce Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll to the general Ring of Honor audience, but I also tend to think more that Ring of Honor should tell stories for the casual fans and let the hardcores catch up. And they seem to occasionally book to the hardcores and say, oh, well, the casuals will get it later. And that's what I saw from that match, at least. I will never care about the New Kingdom. I have like a resolution against watching Matt Taven matches at this point. I just don't do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Jason couldn't offer me enough money to make me do it, which would be weird if Jason was trying to pay me just to watch Matt Taven matches. That would be a really strange moment in all of our lives.
You'll be getting an email after he listens to this show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, by the way, you're going to watch nothing but Matt Taven matches.
Yeah. Your new beat on the website is the Matt Taven beat. I feel like we need someone dedicated to this. It'll be terrible. My coverage would be Matt Taven had a match. I think you can't prove to me this happened. But yeah, I thought it was a good show and definitely above what I expected from Ring of Honor. I've been let down by recent Ring of Honor shows I've tried to watch, and this was one that I was really, really impressed by. So kudos to them. What we're kind of talking about for the first part of today's show, the Young Bucks re-signed with Ring of Honor for the year. That's pretty big. I believe it's two-year contracts. They got more money than they got before. A lot of people thought that this year the Young Bucks would be, they'd do the year in Ring of Honor, get healthy, and then be off to WWE. That's not happening. They're now in Ring of Honor and New Japan for two more years. Jake, what do you think about this move for the careers of the Young Bucks, and what do you think it means for Ring of Honor?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think, if you're the Bucks and you are making enough money to make yourself comfortable and you're working a schedule that makes you comfortable, I don't know why, WWE will always be there for them, and they're young, and maybe they are both young
and bucks, actually.
Well, I mean, maybe they had a conversation, you know, with WWE, and they didn't like what they heard, or they weren't confident about how they'd be used, and Ring of Honor offers, and New Japan for that matter, offered them a level of comfort, and maybe, you know, there was enough money in the ROH deal that, you know, it was hard to turn away. You know, I think it's great for both of them. If the Young Bucks are happy in Ring of Honor, I think it's a huge boost to Ring of Honor, and it'll, you know, New Japan to get a hold of their services, because they're clearly one of the most popular teams among hardcore wrestling fans, if not the most popular.
And generally just one of the most popular acts among hardcore wrestling fans. The Young Bucks are probably the biggest names on the indie scene today, and I think Ring of Honor realized that and put them in a position and you know, made them an offer that said, we know you have other things, we are going to make this worth your while. And I very much respect Ring of Honor for doing that. I think it's a really, really wise choice. I'm curious to see what they do. There's another part of me that says the Bucks have done everything they possibly can in Ring of Honor and New Japan, for that matter. Unless in New Japan they're going to go up to the main tag division and not be juniors, but it seems like that's not what New Japan has in the cards for them in the future. I don't see what more the Bucks do in Ring of Honor aside from continue to throw some super kick parties, continue to be, you know, keep the Bullet Club and Elite thing going. And I don't think that's bad. I don't think any of it is really a bad decision. I also don't love it. It's not my favorite decision. I don't think that act has 2 years of staying power at this current moment, but I get Ring of Honor wanting to capitalize on the popularity they have now. So I'm happy for them and happy for Ring of Honor. And I'm happy for tag team wrestling in general, that the Young Bucks are out there, that you have the Briscoes out there, that you do have so many good tag teams on and around the scene nationally, that it's not all just WWE. In fact, tag team wrestling generally is a lot better outside of WWE than inside of it, with the exception of things like the Revival and DIY and their series of matches that have just been so much fun to watch and to experience. What do you think? Do you think a lot of other guys, I mean, there are a lot of ROH contracts coming up at the end of the year. Jason's reported this, that he believes O'Reilly's coming up, Jay Lethal's coming up. Do you see other guys getting these big money deals from Ring of Honor? Or do you think this is a Bucks thing and they're going to let some guys go the WWE route now?
Well, I guess I don't know who WWE is interested in. You know, O'Reilly just won the ROH World Championship. So, I mean, maybe they got his contract situation resolved before, you know, that was going to come up. I mean, or maybe that means Adam Cole has decided, you know, that he wants to take a chance on WWE. I'm not sure. But there's, you know, there seems to be a lot of opportunity out there for wrestlers right now. I mean, and if WWE's pressure is causing smaller organizations to, you know, to sort of pay wrestlers, you know, a better wage, then I think it's only positive, you know, especially with, you know, New Japan's involvement and how that, you know, the two of them together can probably offer more than just you know, one of them separately. So it's those types of working relationships that will be important to independent wrestling over the next couple of years, and hopefully there can be more, you know, fostering of talent exchanges and things like that. So, you know, there's more and more money out there for you know, for wrestlers to go out there and grab those opportunities. So that's how many people WWE grabs out of Ring of Honor, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a couple. I mean, it certainly seems like there's some interest within WWE to go out there and get more independent talent into NXT to sort of keep that brand, you know, buoyed while, you know, they're transferring their, you know, the talent that they've been working on up to the main roster. So I foresee that process continuing, and I'm sure WWE will do their best to strip mine as much talent as they can out of the independent scene. But
that's what they do.
I think, you know, that's just how they operate. But it seems like the response from the independent scene has been, well, let's treat wrestlers better, and I think that's positive as well.
And I think the Bucks are one of those teams that also value creative freedom quite a bit. They value the ability to kind of do the things that they want to do, to, you know, play the songs they want to hear. And that's something WWE does not always offer. And that's something I think Ring of Honor could offer them in a big way going forward.
Want even more great wrestling content and coverage of WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, NXT, New Japan, and so much more? Check out ProWrestling.net's membership side of things. For $7.50 a month, you get ad-free access to the site, access to all of our audio reviews, including all of the major weekly shows from WWE, TNA, ROH, and so on and so forth, and so much more. $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month. If you want to take the annual option, it gets as low as $5.50 a month, and there's a discount at 6 months too. Check out ProWrestling.net membership. If you're interested in helping us out on this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. Go ahead and check us out on wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a good review. Maybe tell your friends about the show as well. It really helps to spread the word about this show and this website. And now, back to the show.
So, talking about New Japan, Ring of Honor, all of that, New Japan's biggest show of the year, Wrestle Kingdom 11, is coming up on January 4th from the Tokyo Dome, like it always does. I wanted real quick to talk about the matches that have been signed for that card. There, we have four title matches already on that card. Hopefully this show isn't like last year where every match is for some random belt. That got really strange by the end. And, you know, Tanahashi versus Okada was great, but it was like the 11th match on that show for a title as well. Which made it a little bit hard to take seriously. Not that anyone's not taking Tanahashi and Okada seriously, but we have, starting from the bottom, starting with the Young Bucks. You have the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice, Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles. Jake, are my eyes deceiving me? Are there not four other teams in this match?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Like, that's wild.
I was scrolling through like the Wrestle Kingdom Wikipedia page earlier, and I was like, man, you go back like last year, it was like there was like eight teams in that match, and then you go back the year before and it's the same deal. So this is a change of pace, and maybe the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice have both, you know, made enough of a name for themselves in New Japan that they don't feel the need to, you know, to fill that match with additional star power. So more power to them. I think it's great news, and it should make for a much better match.
I would agree. I think the match will be a step above what it has been recently, and that makes me really happy. I think they'll get to tell a better story. Not that these spot fests have been all bad or all terrible or anything like that, but I think they are going to have the opportunity to tell a much better, clearer, more exciting story now that they are going to have just a straight up team on team tag team match. And that's massive. That is a really, really big deal. Moving on, so a match I am really, really excited about. Kushida versus Hiromu Takahashi, a really tough name to say, but better known, I think, to some fans as Kamitachi. Of course, the Kamitachi versus Dragon Lee series of matches excited a ton of people over the last few months, or the last year. Well, Kamitachi being in New Japan means that we get him versus Kushida at the Tokyo Dome. I think this one's going to be just amazing.
I would agree. Seeing Takahashi back in New Japan wrestling under his name rather than wearing the mask, I think is great news. I mean, he should be much better equipped to have a better run this time. And so I'm looking forward to this match. I think Kushida, you know, has proven himself to be, you know, the top junior heavyweight in New Japan. He works a style that few other people can keep up with. I think he had, you know, he had those great matches with Will Ospreay earlier this year, and he's had good matches over the years. Yeah. I mean, it's like a who's who of people that he's faced. I mean, you know, going back to Finn Balor and many others. So I think it's it should be ready-made, just fantastic junior heavyweight action. I couldn't think of a more interesting match to put on this show. It's very fitting of a dome show. It feels big.
Yeah, it feels like a major deal. It feels like something that we are going to be talking about afterwards, and that excites me in general when I see that on a show, a match that I know I will have multiple discussions about afterwards. That's what I want from, especially as you said, a dome show more than other shows. Moving on, the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match, Tetsuya Naito against Tanahashi. Second match to the top for those two. Naito slid in this year as one of New Japan's big four, and we're seeing him in one of the matches the big four would traditionally be in. How excited are you for this one?
I'm really looking forward to the match. I think Naito and Tanahashi match up really well. I mean, I think the styles are different enough that it'll be a nice clash of Tanahashi tends to use aerials a little bit more. Naito is a brawler and he can be somewhat technical at times. But I'm expecting this match to go all over the place. I think it's going to be wild. So that's the part of it that appeals to me. I know a lot of people have been starting to with Tanahashi's injuries and his age, people have talked about him being a little bit long in the tooth. But I think this spot on the card, it feels like, it's just the right place for him at this time in his career. So I think him and Naito are going to surprise a lot of people.
And I don't see him. I don't see anything holding him back at a dome show like that. That's just not going to happen. And the main event of this show, it's going to be Kenny Omega challenging for Okada's IWGP World Championship. Omega is the G1 winner. Wow, that is a major slot for Kenny Omega, who up until the night after the Tokyo Dome last year was in the juniors. He was not he was not what was considered to be one of like the main guys in New Japan. They have moved him up beautifully. They've taken a year to tell this story. They have given him credibility. That alone excites me. Win or lose, I think this is a really, really big slot for him, and it should be really, really fun to watch.
I think he wins.
You think?
I mean,
wow.
I do. I do. Yeah, I think he wins. I mean, I know it's a surprise. I guess it would be a surprise because of how dominant Okada is, and how he is sort of the face of New Japan at this point. But I think it's more interesting to put him on a chase. I mean, I think Omega has done well enough and has has owned the crowds in a way that few heels in New Japan do, that I think it makes a lot of sense for him to go over. And maybe it's underhanded in some way. You can always give Okada an out if you want to. But I think going forward into 2017, Okada chasing after Omega for revenge is a pretty good story.
I would agree, and I think it's a better story for Okada. It's a better story for Omega. You may have convinced me there. I don't know that I would predict the win, but we'll see how things go going into the dome. Should be a fun show. Jake, I'm still not sure if I'm going to stay up all night that evening to cover it like I have for the last couple years. My main challenge there, this is like in the middle of the work week now. It is not the last couple years. It's sort of on one end of the work week or another, or not in that first week back from vacation. This year, it's going to be tough sledding to stay awake and still make it into the office the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's January 4th. I'm trying to think, does that fall on Wednesday night or Tuesday night here? I'm trying to remember how that works with the time change. But it is in the middle of the darn week.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not be watching it live. I mean, I'm sure I will do my best to avoid spoilers and wait until I can get home and turn on New Japan World. But I think – it's a tough sell for American viewers. I mean, maybe they'll have some way for us to catch it online live if you want to. I'm sure New Japan World will be
I believe they'll even have the English commentary team there.
That's true. I mean, as far as wrestling streaming services go, I've had very good luck with stream quality with New Japan. So I have no complaints there. But I will be watching it after the fact on demand.
Yeah, I'm still not sure. It's the one night a year I do live coverage. It's the one where I go, Jason, you weren't willing to stay up all night, and I did. Now I'm not doing this for the rest of the year. And he begrudgingly understands or pretends to.
Well, I have a feeling no matter when you watch it, it's not going to be a disappointment. The card, the way it's shaping up now, it just looks great.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that show. Enough that I wanted to talk about it this week. Jake, I think that'll wrap it up for us this week. We'll be back next week unless somehow I get called into jury duty again or something weird like that.
Oh, jury duty. It's so fun.
Oh, the best time. I got to watch the movie Cheaper by the Dozen, which felt very insulting.
In what, like 4:3?
Oh, yeah.
In the wrong aspect ratio?
On like the projector they had wasn't really pointed at the screen. It was like half on, half off. It was wonderful.
Bureaucracy.
I really feel bad for the like people who work in that office who have to watch those movies, like whatever, like 3 DVDs they've had donated to them on a daily basis. That has to suck.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time you start it, it just feels like a part of your soul just leaves your body at that point.
I'll talk to you next week, Jake.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye.